This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Yik with Lim Soo Ann and Kelly Anisa. Two stories for you today as usual. And first up is...
Yeah, so tidying can transform your life. So this is the beguiling promise from organization guru Marie Kondo. But instead of sparking joy, decluttering your home can be painful for some of us.
That's very interesting. And second story?
Yes, so in our second story, we are going to discuss how TV shows and films have the potential to make people think about human rights issues. And of course, we will be looking at Game of Thrones.
And so we're asking you on Twitter, have you learned about equality and justice from TV shows? Your options are yes or no, it's just the show, or third option, depends on the show. So you can, you know, share your thoughts with us at on Twitter on BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 0377-332900.
All that will be coming up after this song by Lissy, the record collector.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Lissy with Record Collector. And speaking of collecting, our first story.
Yes, so we've all at least heard of Marie Kondo if we haven't seen her famous Netflix series on decluttering and reorganizing your home.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of made it quite a trend, and this practice of decluttering is often seen as having a positive effect for most people. But and for some people, throwing away certain objects can be quite painful.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so I mean, her idea of decluttering, which is also known as the KonMari method, is quite straightforward. So she asks you to tidy your home by category instead of by room, and to pull everything out before sorting it out, and then to take in the full horror of your materialism. and then you would only keep the things that would either be useful or spark joy. And so nothing is safe from her mission to reduce the amount of stuff in the people's lives. You know, it's clothes, or kitchen utensils, and most controversially, even books as well. So she sifts through them, she assesses them and discards them if, no, they're neither useful nor spark joy in the person's life.
Okay.
So Kondo is not the only one who's advocating this simpler, tidier lifestyle. A simple search through the internet will show you results of dozens of other books as well as professional decluttering services to help you organize your home and life and even, you know, coach you on how to maintain that lifestyle.
Yeah, and for most of us, myself included, piles of clutter around our room or house may not seem like a big deal. I mean, sure, we struggle to find a clear surface to put something down occasionally. Yes, like, you know, food.
Yeah.
Or we end up knocking over a pile of stacked objects. But it doesn't really make, I mean, speaking for myself at least, it doesn't really make my life much worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little bit of inconvenience sometimes. And we quickly forget about, you know, that pile of clutter, we move on. And most of us like our stuff. So these piles of clutter turn the buildings we live in from a house into a home and can give us a sense of satisfaction.
Yeah, but can collecting all these belongings really make our lives better, or could we be better off with less stuff? So there has been various research done to study the negative impact of living in an untidy, cluttered space. For example, a study from the Princeton University found that the presence of clutter can reduce our ability to focus on a task.
Mm.
So this may explain why some people cannot work at a messy desk,
mm-hmm.
for example.
Yep.
So another study from the University of California also found that messy surroundings can make us feel more anxious and stressed, especially when we are unable to locate something within the environment.
Yep.
So researchers from the University of Navarra in Spain found that more mistakes were made when inputting data in a messy environment. So these studies do suggest that Marie Kondo is onto something.
Yeah, and tidying up and working or living in a neat environment can leave us feeling more invigorated and satisfied. So quoting Sophie Scott, a cognitive neuroscientist from the University College of London, she argues that tidying up can act as a reward. So this increases the release of the neurotransmitter dopamine, which is known as the brain's pleasure chemical. Mm. It makes us feel good. Mm-hmm. However, Scott also warns that a good clean out will only improve your mood if you set manageable goals. Otherwise, you'll be setting yourself up to fail, you know, if you try to clean up perhaps too much clutter you can't do it, right? And you just end up feeling worse about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, but generally, most of us don't feel that strongly about, you know, the possessions that we have, but we still have things that are emotionally, that we tie it to emotionally significant memories. Mm, you know, it's something from our childhood or from a particular event.
Yes.
And it can represent, you know, a part of yourself, of your memory, of your background, that it can be quite difficult to just simply throw that thing away.
Yes.
And, you know, so for example, when you struggle to part with an old keepsake, for example, you're not really clinging to the item itself, but, you know, the memories that you associate with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that sentimental value can make giving the object away feel like giving up a part of your own memories.
Yeah, and that's where I think it comes in, where it goes to the extreme. You talk about hoarding.
Yeah.
And for hoarders, objects represent comfort and security for them. Mm. In these extreme cases, hoarding can be a medical disorder that can rob them of their quality of life.
Yeah.
A study by researchers at Yale University actually scanned the brains of hoarders and found that, you know, when they have to throw out objects, it actually activates a part of their brain that is also responsible for processing pain.
Wow.
And so this means that to declutter their home, it doesn't spark joy, it actually sparks pain for them. Mm. And it's more painful to throw things out than to maintain the clutter.
Yeah. So, you know, to understand more about this, we do have on the line consultant clinical psychologist Paul Jambunathan to help us understand the concept of decluttering. So it is quite normal for us to see piles of clutter around the room or around the house, you know, to keep things or to collect things. What are the benefits to having a cluttered environment?
Let's define the word clutter. It could either be a noun or it could be a verb. Yeah, so that needs to be defined very, very clearly. I think that a lot of people jumping on this hobby horse or bandwagon, you might call it, calling it clutter. Now, I don't know what clutter means unless there's too many things and you call it the place is a cluttered place. Okay, that's one issue for us to think about. Another issue to think about is the human lifespan. It's a different angle, but when children are younger, you want multi-sensorial stimuli all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You want colors, you want shapes, sizes, you want all kinds of course, safe things. Imagine a child growing up in a sterile room of a CEO who's got a clear desk. No, you want the child to be able to put away clutter, put away their toys, you know, things belong in certain places, and then bring it out again and play with it. So at an early stage, we need this kind of stimulation. And then we go through old age, and then when someone dies, you go into the home and you say, oh my God, there's so much clutter. We've got to clear it all after the man died. That's another extreme of this scenario. Now, the article mentions some very, very good points. Memories, you know, they talked about the attachment to various material goods have memories attached to them. I think that's a very salient point. What's important is, okay, let's use the example of photographs, framed photographs that we have all over our homes. What do? They don't just sit there occupying space on a wall. They sometimes consciously, you stop in front of a photograph and you examine it. Sometimes it becomes so much part of your life, you walk past it every day without stopping twice, but it's still there. It's part of your memory, part of your background. But when it's missing on that wall, you'll realize, hey, there's something missing here. These are memory gaps, and they form this wonderful map of who you are and what you've become from where and where you're headed maybe.
So why do people derive pleasure from decluttering their home or their life?
Well, one possibility is the fact is that they're fed up with that being so cluttered all this while, and they've not been moving forward. So they go ahead and say, let me now clean up my life. Let me just do a small spring clean, which is a good thing. I encourage people to do mental and emotional spring cleaning. That's an important thing too. If you need to clean up your place and you think it's decluttered, by all means, do that. Please understand why you do what you do, when you do, who you do it with, what your motives are. Yeah, I got nothing against it. And if you're doing it just as a pleasure-seeking behavior, because it does, any behavior stimulates various neurotransmitters in the brain. If you're doing it just for pleasure-seeking, go and practice some altruism. That'll give you more pleasure. It'll make you far more happy. Go and do some exercise. I mean, there's so many pleasure-seeking ways. And be careful when you read these articles. Yes, these articles are not bad. I can say it can be therapeutic, but be very, very careful. you also need to be able to identify whether these kinds of behavior is a resolution or therapeutic tool. With all that clutter, if you're not dysfunctional in your workplace, social life, biological life, your psychological life, no need to have a clinical intervention. But if you think you're becoming dysfunctional and this might help after discussing it with a mental health expert, then yes, consider that. But don't do it as an experiment and suffer psychological amputation. And I find this very, very dangerous because you have this whim to suddenly declutter, declutter, declutter. You build it up to a crescendo. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is you kind of lose stuff and say, oh, damn, I wasn't ready to let this go. And you have memories that are incomplete. Memories don't always need to be rationalized or worked through. Memories sometimes need to just occupy space. And then they will find their own little nook and cranny. But you don't have to dig it out and throw it away. If you're not ready to discard something, find out why you're not ready to discard it. Process it. Talk about it.
So that was Paul Jambunathan, consultant clinical psychologist. Mm. I mean, personally, I do try to keep my clutter to a minimum, but you know, there's always like bits and pieces here and there. It's inevitable clutter. Like whenever I do something, there's always a little bit left behind here. But I mean, I personally don't think it's to the extent where I feel an immense need to completely overhaul everything, to just take everything out and like, you know, decide there and then what matters to me or not.
I mean, obviously, you would know that clutter is a problem if it's affecting your quality of life, right? If it's the physical environment is becoming a hazard to you, for instance, or if it's bothering you. A lot of times the example used is that if your workspace is too cluttered and you can't focus on your work, then perhaps there's something to think about there. But, you know, Paul mentions a few times as well, it's all tied to your memories. Everything has a meaning in your life, and so you have to be able to process what those objects mean in your life and whether you're ready to discard it, you know. Are you a fan of the KonMari method, Kelly?
No, I don't think I can just declutter my things because I tend to form emotional attachments to a lot of the things that I have. So even if it's a pen that my grandfather gave me, so I don't really use it. I just keep it there. But I know it can get messy, but like you said, Xiaowei, if it becomes a hazard or if it becomes, you know, a little bit too out of control, it's never got to that state ever
where you're buried by, you know, piles of
just clothes and like sentimental things. But no, I mean, yeah, I can't just throw things away. I admit I have a problem with that, but because that's because of the emotional attachment I have to those objects.
I mean, even for some people as well, even if it's a chaotic clutter or mess, for some people, you know where things are. It's not it may look like
it's organized chaos.
It looks like a mess to other people, but to yourself, you know where things are. It's not a mess to you.
I mean, here at BFM, we do sort of have a no clutter policy at our workstations. I mean, for you listeners, what we've done as an organization is to try to maintain this thing where our tables are kept as clean as possible, and we have only a very tiny locker space under each desk for things. And I think that is a way to sort of force yourself to get rid of things that you really don't need. You're forced to make that kind of filter, to have that filter in your mind when you're looking at stuff on your table and, okay, I'm done with this bit of research perhaps and I can file it away or even recycle it. So I think that there's that balance there between what you need, what makes you happy, what brings meaning to your life, but also being able to look at something quite objectively and ask yourself whether it's important.
I think it all just depends on the person. It differs from person to person. Just because like the KonMari thing is a trend doesn't mean that everyone should hop on that bandwagon. Like Paul said, you just do what feels right to you, what suits your own personality, and I think like that way you find your own chaos and that peace.
Yes. So if we could quickly visit our social media question in preparation for our second story.
Yes, so we're asking you if you have learned about equality and justice from TV shows. Your three options are yes, no, it's just a show, or it depends on the show. So, I mean, you can tell us what type of shows you are talking about by tweeting us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 0377-332900.
Yes, we'll be talking about Game of Thrones, for one, which everyone is still talking about, and some other TV shows and movies, and how they're linked to social issues. So stay tuned for that. But first, here's The Rentals with Little Bit of You in Everything, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.